This is a Gathering History Project podcast recorded in the Louth County Museum in Dundalk, Ireland. Down in the Louth County Museum on this lovely, lovely March morning in 2013. And I'm speaking to a namesake of mine, no relation, just a namesake, Patsy Lee. Patsy, you're very, very welcome to the programme. And we just start, I suppose, which we always do when we're doing interviews like this is, where exactly in Dundalk were you born?
I was born in a little village just across the river in Lisdo.
Lisdo.
I think it's L-I-S-D-O-O.
Yeah.
Lisdo, yeah.
Yeah. And was that where your family came from? How did your family end up in Lisdo?
No, my mother, Annie Catherine Fitzgerald, she lived at the Quay. And my dad, as I said earlier on, came from Kiltearn. And then when they married, they rented a cottage in Lisdo.
We rented.
Because when I did the archive search, there was no record of my family living in the cottages. Because I think people were calling them Lisdo cottages. But I've since been informed that they weren't called Lisdo cottages. Somebody reckoned they were called something else.
Now, your mum's name, Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, yes.
There was a lot of Fitzgeralds down the Quay.
There was a lot of them.
And would you have been any connection to Jack Fitzgerald? Jack was a very good footballer. He played with Dundalk, I know, and Fitzgerald.
Jack was, there was a lot of Gaelic footballers.
Yeah.
Don't know about soccer.
Jack was a soccer.
No.
He's nothing to them. But there was a good few of them. It was a real key name, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, there was. The Fitzgeralds was left, right and centre down there. They owned the pubs, they worked in the garages, they worked everywhere.
Yeah.
But not the world.
Now, you moved then from Lisdo to where?
I moved from Lisdo to a little, well, I lived at Quay Street, but we lived in a place called Ship Street.
Yes, that's a good question. It comes up regularly in quizzes and everything like that. But it's a tiny wee street down the Quay,
isn't it? Three houses
in it.
Yep.
And you lived in one of them?
We lived in the middle one. We moved there when my brother Jack was born, because my sister Maureen and I were born in Lisdo, but it was a small place. I mean, like, even when I try to remember it, I have nightmares, because I'm thinking, how the hell did a family of our size manage in a little place like this?
It's amazing, isn't it? Right. You know, we lived in Hill Street, and there were six of us in a two-bedroom house. And I forget even.
No.
It's very hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, you went to school in, and it's a little thing, you gave me some information on you, in the Sisters of Mercy. Now, was that, where was that school, or was that the Retnamara, which it is now?
Well, that was the one opposite the castle, what I call the castle.
It was run by the Sisters of Mercy.
Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah, who ran, of course, then the Retnamara New School.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you then moved from there to the CBS. Was that primary?
It was originally, yeah. Once we reached the age of seven, Holy Communion, we were shipped off down to the CBS. Christian Brothers, as I call them.
Now, the amazing thing is that you then went from there to the Point Road School. Now, I remember the Point Road School. I was never at it, but I remember that building and everything down there. It was a very small wee school, wasn't
it? Very small school. Two rooms. That's all it was, Point Road.
You weren't a very happy student.
No, I didn't like school.
Why?
I'd rather be out. Yeah, as we used to say, mitching.
Mitching.
But I never got far away because there was a very, very popular policeman called Guard Gaffney. And once or twice he found me down the country lanes.
He used to go around on a bicycle, didn't he?
He did that, yes.
Yeah.
And he caught me one day and he said, "What are you doing down here, Patsy?" I said, there was a farmer called Cox, Cox's farmer. And we used to work for him during the period when we were picking the crops, and I said my mum sent me down here to find out whether there was any work for us.
And what would he actually do with you then? Would he take you straight back to school?
He would say, "Come on, I'll take you back." And we passed the Point Road School, and he'd say, "Well, you might as well get off here and go into school. I'll go and tell your mother that I found you."
Now, when you left school, you went immediately to work in Rawson's, which an awful lot of people did. Oh, yeah. And that was only around the corner from you down there,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, I left school when I was 13 and a half because my birthday was October. But we were on holiday, so they were said, well, no need for you to go back. So I was 13 and a half, really, when I left school. But then I got a job in Rawson's because my uncles were workers there. In the sandal department, which was something
huge at that time, wasn't
huge,
it?
Very huge.
Yeah. Now, we were talking here about 1946.
46, 47.
Yes. Yeah. And like Rawson's was flying at that time,
it was even bigger than Clark's. I think it was called Clark's was the first one down the road.
That's Halliday's, I think it was known as Halliday's at that time, wasn't it? And then it switched over to. Now, you stayed there for very little time because the family then decided to go to England. Why was that?
We went to England because our dad wasn't with us. Well, our dad, because he was unemployed here, couldn't get jobs, so he went to England.
Before that?
Before.
All right, okay.
And in 1948, Jack and I and my sister Maureen and Mum, we went to live in London.
Tell me a little bit about your dad. What did he do in England?
He was a jack of all trades, but he was a builder. And he's always been proud of the fact that after the war, I mean, London got hammered. They were flattened to the ground. And building was a major thing then. And he was always proud of the fact that he was part of the brigade that built Birmingham and Coventry. But his biggest pride of the lot was that he was one of the men that was working on the Silverstone racetrack. And he always said, oh, yes, that's right. That's what he was.
He would have been sending money home to your mom.
Yeah, we were every Saturday. Every Saturday, 4:30, 5:00, we'd be outside the post office waiting to go in and get the telegram.
Were you ever let down that it didn't come?
Many times.
Because of him or the post office?
No, because of the system. If he didn't send it by a certain time from England, it didn't get through to the post office, so we would have to wait for a Monday. Or if it was a holiday, we had to wait till after the holidays.
And Patsy, was he one of the men who, an awful lot of people, as you know, men went over there and didn't send the money regularly. Was your dad one of these people that sent it rigidly?
Oh, no, he did. That's what he was doing. He was you have to remember that he was trying to feed himself, accommodate himself, and whatever spare cash he had over, then was sent home to us. Which wasn't very, very
It
much.
Must have been a very, very lonely much. Life for them, for him over there, though.
It was. But there again, you say lonely because of missing the family. But they worked, not as individuals. They worked as a team of workers. And that they would be in their own lodgings all the time. So
just bed to work?
That's it. He was a worker. He wasn't a shirker, as we call him.
Have you any memories at all, Patsy, of discussing with your mum about going and with your brother, Jack, who we have here with us, and you're very, very welcome, Jack's just looking on over there. But did you discuss it, or were you just told we're going to move to England?
No, we knew. My dad had come home. It was on a Christmas time he came home, and then he said, very, very soon we'll have accommodation. And we went on what we classified as the cattle boat. It really was a cattle boat. I mean, we had...
Was that from Holyhead to Holyhead?
Yeah.
And then down from Holyhead to...
Yeah, to Dunleary, and then Dunleary right into Euston in London.
Have you any memories of that? Can you visualize your dad waiting on you at the train?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
He was at the wrong station.
That must have been frightening.
We ended up as a family sitting in the waiting room, and having a cup of tea or biscuit or something or other, and he walked in through the door. Somebody had given the wrong information. They said that the train was now not coming to Euston, it was coming to King's Cross.
And there was no mobile phones at that time?
No. So,
and how did you get in contact with them?
No, we didn't. We just sat there waiting.
And how long were you waiting there?
No, good few hours, I would imagine.
In a completely strange country.
Yeah.
The makings of a great movie, isn't it? This family sitting in a waiting room,
yep.
And father didn't turn up, you know. Yep. It's got great potential.